W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Former President Trump appears in a Miami federal courtroom in Miami, saying he will enter a not guilty plea in the classified documents case. Some fellow Republicans not defending Mr. Trump on the possible political aspects, Utah Senator Mitt Romney.
The president holding onto these documents and getting indicted makes it more likely he's able to raise money and do well in the primary. But I think it hurts his chances in the general, and I'd rather see someone who could win.
New information on the investigation of yesterday's fiery tanker truck crash underneath an elevated section of Philadelphia's Route I-95. Flames and heat so damaging, a section of the roadway above it collapsed. Pennsylvania's transportation chief says the tractor-trailer tried to navigate the curb and lost control. They've started a criminal investigation into today's tour boat accident in an historic Lockport, New York cave. That boat flipped, killing one person and injured 11 others. This is ABC News. A jury in Oregon has found an electric company liable for deadly 2020 wildfires.
9 people died in wildfires that broke out during an Oregon windstorm on Labor Day in 2020. Over 5,000 homes and other buildings were destroyed, close to 1,900 square miles burned. Now a jury finding electric utility Pacific Corp responsible for causing the fires. A jury awarding millions of dollars to each of 17 homeowners who sued in the civil case. The jury also applying the findings to a larger class action group, which could put the price tag over $1 billion. No official cause has been determined for the wildfires. Pacific Corp, though, did not shut off power during the windstorm. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The victims of former financier and convicted sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein reached a nearly $300 million settlement with J.P. Morgan Bank. A woman identified as Jane Doe sued, claiming the bank ignored warnings about Epstein and kept doing business with him. Andy Field, ABC News.
Gathered's Farmers Market Series is back with artisanal food, craft cocktails, craft beer, and a curated playlist featuring touring bands complimentary of Nicolet Bank. Every Wednesday this summer until September 24th, our doors will be opening at 4 p.m. with concerts starting on June 14th and running through August 16th. This year, we're also excited to feature some exclusive Hinterland brews along with our ever-expanding list of signature Gathered cocktails. Grab a drink, find a spot, and enjoy Gathered's Farmers Market Series every Wednesday through September 2nd.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 a.m. and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your turn.
Ethel, calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
BertieBales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition,
which do really great work. And I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody that donated to my birthday Facebook pledge. Got over $900, and I really appreciate you. And that goes directly to the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Hey, it's Monday, and we have Dr. Stately here. And Dr. Stately is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here. And Dr. Stately, I was in... this weekend I was in Green Bay, which is the home of a football team, but also I was emceeing the Wisconsin Democrat Convention. And I got to tell you, they had a guest, a special guest, surprise guest, and it was Amy Klobuchar. And oh, nice. I was like totally blown away on how well she does and did, and she was just awesome.
Nice. Awesome. She was in Wisconsin, huh?
Yeah, they flew her in. I'm just I'm sneezing here and having an attack. Tell a story while I'm freaking out. No, I'm just kidding. you guys that are watching this on Facebook Live, you could see that I was sneezing my brains out. But it was really a privilege to be there. And one takeaway, too, I'm really, really glad that I live in Minnesota because we do some things really different. And especially when it comes to our Native communities, I think we were put out in the forefront in a lot of ways that Wisconsin doesn't do, and they're still learning. So it was really an interesting contrast to see, again, what happens here in Minnesota because of our representation and what happens in Wisconsin when they're gerrymandered unbelievably.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big challenge for your state, your home state. Were you there as a delegate, or how were you, like,
No, I was an MC. I was, they wanted my, I was not a Ho-Chunk representative. I was a representative of Native Roots Radio. So that was really fun. And as you probably know, we had a Potosewich on our show a couple times during their big last win, which was their Supreme Court judge.
Yep.
So they must have liked how I sounded, and then they didn't really listen to the show that closely, that I can't read and that I mispronounce everybody's names. So maybe next year I won't be invited. But it worked out really well, and I got help with all the there's a lot of Polish people living in Wisconsin, too, with their names, and it worked out well.
They have a lot of you can't say their names the way they're spelled, because they don't sound the way they're spelled. I have a colleague of mine who always has to remind me of how to say his name.
Hey, you know, I'm wondering, we haven't talked about this, Dr. Stately, in a while. Where are we at with COVID? Are there new strains? Are there and I guess, too, you having COVID, and I want to remind our audience that you were hospitalized before there was any kind of shot or vaccine. And what are you seeing in the community long term, and also anything new coming up?
Well, I think that generally speaking, I would say, you know, that we have more than an abundant evidence that the vaccines are effective, especially the newer ones, the bivalent, right? I was just having this conversation with my sister the other day, because she was like talking about going to see her father, who is elderly, and my sister-in-law, actually. So going to see her father in Florida for Father's Day next week. And I said, well, you know, and he has spent the better part of the last year or two, him and his wife, elderly wife, kind of sheltering in place, not letting a lot of people come to visit them, not really going out a whole lot and socializing and being in other spaces with family members and friends and in the community broadly. She reminded me that he was like, you know, he mentioned to some of his family members and some other folks who were kind of salty about him being so, you know, like a shut-in over those years. She said he reminded them all, like, you know, well, yeah, you all get sick with COVID and you're like, you know, you're sick for a couple of weeks, or you're like unable to, you know, go to work or something. He goes, me and, you know, Grandma Santa get like COVID, we get sick and we can die. So there's a different level of risk there. So he explained fairly well like why he made the choices he made. But they finally are starting to kind of come out and go out and socialize, and they're feeling comfortable. They've gotten all their shots, their series of shots. And I did mention to her that, like, you know, it'd probably be a good idea, like, if you haven't had your most recent COVID booster shot, it might be a good idea to do it before you go to visit your family in Florida and your father in Florida, because there's still circulation out there. There's still, you know, all kinds of challenges. You know, people that traveling on a plane, being in tight quarters on that jetway. Turns out that the most highest risk for getting maybe contracting a virus isn't necessarily on the plane or the air circulation, because they did retrofit lots of airplanes with those better circulation systems, but lined up like cattle on the jetway while you're waiting to get on the plane is probably not a great place to sort of like sit for 20 minutes waiting for your seat and to get on the airplane. So just practicing good general practices of like preventing the same kind of thing you would prevent a cold with or the flu with, same practices: wash your hands, keep some social distance. If you're not feeling good, cover your face. If you're feeling really sick, then stay home from wherever you're going, because there are real world outcomes for people that are a little bit vulnerable. And yeah. I encouraged my sister to take her second series of shots again, because she hasn't had one since last April, a year ago April. And I said, we really are in a space where, like, we're treating it like an endemic, you know, kind of like what you would do is you get a regular annual shot for like the flu or some other sort of thing that you can pick up in the sort of like in the general public. It won't hurt you, but it certainly will protect you if it's necessary when the time comes.
So. Yeah, I think the last variant of COVID was really highly contagious, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that I've known, or the few people I know that have kind of traveled around the world, whether it was to Italy or something, have come back with COVID. Yeah. And again, not yeah. severe because they've been quadruple vaxxed, but still it's out there. And that's a good point about the airport. You guys got to do what I do. And that's like, even if they're calling first class and I'm way at the end of the plane, I go in there and pretend I'm in first class. And so I can get my bags up there. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you now that you just had your birthday, you can go in that one line where they say, like, the elderly that needed assistance, and yeah. you can go in with those people.
Yeah, you know, limp up there, right? I think
you don't even have to lie. You are.
Now. Yeah. You must have saw me walking this morning. I was going, why am I limping? Yes. Because I'm practicing to get in the front line of the plane. I get it now. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're going to take a quick short break here and resume our conversation. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Did you know there are easy ways to support your child's brain development during their critical early years from age 0 to 3? Little Moments Count is a website which provides tools to help parents engage in simple everyday activities like talking, playing, reading, and singing with their children. Visit littlemomentscount.org for resources and support in giving your child a strong foundation for a lifetime of learning. That's littlemomentscount.org. littlemomentscount.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I love that tagline because they really do, and they really are doers. And we have the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately, I just want to maybe just finish up our last discussion, and then get on to something else about COVID still being a thing. I've heard reports from friends that own businesses and restaurants that, you know, people need to, if they're not feeling well, they need to not go out, or especially wear a mask and protect everyone. And we're not out of the woods, and it's still spreading.
Yeah, for sure. And there's other things that you can pass along to people too. I think just a little bit of a little bit of a dose of kindness and generosity, and also a little bit of, like, you know, being a good relative. Like, you know, don't go out and visit people if you have a scratchy throat or sore throat, or you're not feeling well, or you have, you know, sneezing fits. You're fine because you're in that little closet that you're in. But I think that one of the things, like, you just want to remember, like, you don't know who you're going to be around. Like, you make assumptions, oh, it's fine, I'm not that sick. You know, remember that, like, there's other people in your area or in the environment that could catch whatever you have. I have a colleague or a friend of mine who's in their, late 60s, I think probably about to turn 70, and, you know, struggles with asthma and a few other things. And, like, as much as I want to spend time and, you know, be in their space, if I'm not feeling well, I'm going to really be thoughtful about whether or not I want to go and be around them when I'm not feeling well, because I want to be cautious. I don't want to get them sick, right? There's some vulnerable people can get things from us too, that are fairly, they might be innocuous to us, they might not be all that, like, problematic for us, but the problem is that we don't know whether or not, we don't know anybody else's health status, and we don't know whether or not that's going to impact people. And I think on the other side, it's fine to be cautious, right? Like, you know, I know that, like, we've had two or three solid years of, like, not really being all that social. So lots of people have FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, yeah. You know, real thing. I think, you know, it's actually a diagnostic sort of, like, probably thing that'll be in the next DSM-4 for psychiatric disorders. But people do have, I'm saying that in all jest, by the way, don't.
I was hoping the medical journal would have a picture of me looking sad with my FOMO face.
Yeah, with your FOMO face. You have, like, an actual legit FOMO face, I'm pretty sure. Being thoughtful about, you know, like, you know, that, you know, I get that it's, you know, we've been locked up for 2 years. We're afraid of, like, missing out on something, especially something really super cool. Like, I don't know. An example would be, like, last week NCAI was in town. I had no idea. I would have loved to have gone, right? I also am anxious and cautious about things like, you know, traveling and being around other people, because I still, you know, I struggle during the summertime with, like, the heat and the impact that COVID had on my lungs, breathing, things like that. We had those forest fires all last week. I was, like, you know, out of breath by the time I got to the top of the hill with the dog, and I was like, why am I having such a difficult time breathing? So, you know, I'm just a little more cautious as well.
Really good point. We talked about that when Wendy was in New York. She just got home last week.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
I mean, the meme that was going around, the meme of New York City with all the smog on it. You see that one? And then if you look really closely, Godzilla's, like, in the background.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I believe it, because, I mean, the planet's burning up, and we need to talk about that. It's a real thing, and what a great example for New York City, especially having the worst air in the world. And that's, you know, that's places where they have burning pits and tires and stuff like that that New York outdid. It was crazy. Yeah. They said not.
He was there last week. He went to the sea. He was texting and texting me, and he was also posting on Facebook and Instagram accounts. Like, he was in New York with his wife, and he went to see Hamilton. He's like, "Oh, I'm seeing Hamilton." I was like, "Did you, like, have to, like,
right,
like, swim bat through away the smoke?"
Yeah. Well, Wendy couldn't go out, and she's in Long Island, which is, you know, what, 30 minutes from the city, and it was bad there. She couldn't go on the boardwalk, and it was crazy. Yeah, but those are other things. But we talk about health, and you know, there's things we can do about our health too. And, you know, I think one of the things that's coming up is the Native Summer Olympics that. That's kind of near and dear to your heart, that's coming up here.
Yeah. So this is a summer youth Olympics program that the that several organizations in South Minneapolis and St. Paul are supporting. NAC is a supporter of it. We made a donation to the event, and then it was also supported by the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Group. And it's, you know, one day event happening, I think, at the end of this week on the 16th, so it's Friday, from 3 o'clock to I think like 6 or 7. And, you know, it's their first time having it in quite some time, especially since COVID. But why it's near and dear to my heart is because when I was a kid, a young man, probably around the age of 13 or 14, and my mother started the Native American Youth Olympics, Summer Youth Olympics, one year, kind of went around, got people to volunteer to be like, you know, refs and coaches and, you know, scorers and stuff like that for all the different games. It took place on South High Field, which is where I was going to high school at the time. And, you know, I think I placed in track and field that year, which is probably the only thing I've ever done that even remotely, you know, is aligns with some type of, you know, athletic achievement in my entire life. So, you know, that also feels really good. But, you know, my mom did that program for a few years until she got too sick with cancer and then had to stop doing it. And then I moved away after that. And I wasn't really sure. But I remember when I came back, I wanted to try to reestablish that in her honor and her memory. And a couple of years ago, a bunch of us who are MUD directors, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, so the people who lead all the Native organizations in South Minneapolis and in the and in St. Paul, we got together at Sharon Day's house out in north of the Twin Cities, and we had a couple of series of conversations about the state of our community and the concerns and the things we were really concerned about. And, you know, Marlene Helgema was still alive at that time, and she sort of kind of facilitated the meeting and the gathering for us. And we all talked, we went around the circle, and all of us, every single one of us, talked about, like, you know, what it was like to live in South Minneapolis and to grow up in our community. And when we were younger, what it felt like, you know, we felt tighter as a community. We felt, you know, we felt safe as young people. I talked about growing up in South Minneapolis and being able to ride my bike from my home at 31st and Minnehaha all the way down the avenue, up and down the avenue all summer long, playing on the avenue in the community until 9 or 10 o'clock at night when it got dark, and then, you know, getting home just in time to avoid a beating from my mom. So, you know, those are great memories, and like, our kids can't do that in our community anymore. We have so many challenges and problems. So let's do something for our kids that's fun and remind them, like, you know, it's okay to be a kid. And it's actually really great to be a kid, and it's really great to be an active kid and get out and have fun and enjoy the outdoors and play with one another and build social relationships and stuff. So that's the intent of this community event, and it's our first one in a while, and we're going to continue to grow it and expand on it. And I'm a really proud supporter of this project. NAC is a really proud supporter of it. And it aligns with a lot of what we're trying to do with our mission at NAC, which is to improve the health and well-being of our entire community, which includes our young people.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, it's on 2500 Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis, and it's from June 16th from 3 p.m. to 7. And I see an event here that I might have to shave my goatee and dye my hair to join in on, but this is a water balloon fight. I think I could get into that.
You know, you might also be able to do the bouncy house, because there's not a whole lot of, you know, all the kids could jump and you can still go up and down. You don't even have to put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah. I wouldn't have to shave my beautiful goatee off for that.
I can see myself participating in the cookout, like eating the food and, you know, the hot dog stand.
We could definitely medal in that. That's for sure.
Exactly. First place in hot dog eating.
Yeah, definitely. Hey,
but like, this is actually a really important thing too. I was listening to this podcast about childhood obesity, and I have a project working on that. These are the kinds of things that NAC is also trying to do, which is improve upstream the health and well-being of our young people. If young, healthy young people create healthy adults. So.
Yes, they do. Hey, we got Dr. Stately here for another segment, and then up after that, Wendy, and we're talking to, we're going to be talking a little bit our about our little Gracie who passed on this last week, and how sad. Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very sad, but we'll be talking about that in the last segment and move on from there. But you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened here with Dr. Stately.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. It's the end of an era. The longest running host in TV game show history is calling it quits.
Pat Sajak is giving the wheel one last spin. The host of Wheel of Fortune says he's leaving the syndicated nightly game show after the upcoming season, which will be his 41st. He started as host in 1981 and is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest running host of any game show in history. The 76-year-old says on Twitter that it's been a wonderful ride and he'll have more to say in the coming months. Sony, which produces the show, says Sajak will stay on as a consultant for 3 years.
You look like you're having a darn good time.
Jason Athelson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Miami police say they are preparing for crowds from 5,000 to up to 50,000 as former President Trump is set to appear in a federal court in Miami Tuesday. This after he was indicted on federal charges in an investigation into his handling of classified documents. Trump told talk show host Howie Carr that he would plead not guilty at the arraignment and would not make a statement during his court appearance. This is ABC News.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Pawn area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
On the corner of 11th Avenue and Main Street in Hopkins with plenty of free parking. Visit their website at 30bales.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Uh-huh!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're talking a little bit about a lot of stuff as we usually do, and we're just ending the last segment talking about the Native Summer Olympics that are happening on Friday, June 16th from 3 to 7 p.m. on 2500 Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis. And I know I'm going to make it out there for a little bit for sure. And it's supposed to be hot. So again, the balloon contest, I'll bring my own balloons and maybe get you upside your head, Dr. Stately, when you're not looking. But welcome back. And that's exciting stuff that you guys are doing really to get our people engaged, our kids engaged in a safe way.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's exciting. I can't wait to go and see the kids having fun and playing games and running in the park and, you know, yeah, doing all, just being physically active. I think one of the things that I would, I was closing out that last episode, that section of the episode about was, you know, that really was the impetus that came out of like this conversations we were having a year ago. The group of directors that were meeting every month with Marlene and some of the other leadership to talk about, you know, what are some of the things we can do, small steps we can do to take sort of like to begin to change things in our community and make, you know, as we come out of COVID, you know, try to make things better for our community, and certainly having our kids feeling like they're something fun to do, and you know, get them out of their homes, get them out away from watching TV and being on you know, devices, anything to kind of get them out and interacting with one another and remembering who they are is a really important thing. Yeah. And I was thinking about this, I was listening to this podcast last week on that radio station that we don't talk about here, and they were talking about like childhood obesity and how prolific it is. Like the United States is in its fourth decade of having obesity as being one of its largest and most dominant public health crises in the United States in our modern time, right? And arguably, there's a lot of things that kind of happened, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago that changed the way that people consume their food, the way they started, you know, everything. But a lot of it starts with young people and the things that they eat and the way that they live their lives and the way that we, we raise young people, that sets them on a trajectory of being either obese and having lots of health problems or not. And one of the things that they said that was interesting to me in that podcast, they were talking about how, you know, it's a big political sort of like, not political debate, but a really heavily discussed contention in some medical fields about, like, you know, we've developed some newer technologies like the sleeve and instead of bariatric surgeries and those kinds of things. The sleeve is a fairly simple procedure where you shrink the size of the stomach, which helps to curb appetite and how much you can eat, those kinds of things. We have Ozempic and other more modern injectable and oral drugs that help us to curb and treat obesity and diabetes and kind of get people to kind of drop their weight fairly rapidly. And we think nothing about giving these interventions to adults who have obesity is one of their primary health concerns, but we don't really think about too much about the value of providing those opportunities, those health interventions to young people, in addition to changing their food and some of their behavioral habits, as well as eating and diet. But what's fundamentally interesting is that, you know, young people who have obesity under the age of, adolescents, early adolescents, when they are struggling with obesity as a young person, they grow up to become adults who have obesity as a lifelong problem. And the majority of those people do not ever see a life where they're not obese and all of the health problems that happen as a result of that. And so I do think, like, you know, it's a really common thing that we see even in our Native community is our young people struggling to have, you know, a life in which they can be more active, not struggling with obesity and being at risk, greater risk for diabetes, heart hypertension and heart disease and a number of other problems. So it's kind of a real big focus of ours as well.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. I know you, by talking to you, you feed your family and make a meal, and it looked pretty healthy. And, you know, that's kind of gone away side, too. We're in a fast food nation. I remember, again, I don't want to say when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, McDonald's was a treat. Now it's almost a necessity for people because of the price and because of how easy, accessible it is for people that are single family and, you know, those other things that go in there.
Yeah, there's a lot that rolls into that. Like, you know, imagine if you're a single mom or a single dad, and certainly there's been times when I've felt like a single father raising my sons. And, you know, like, you know, I've given them their share of chicken nuggets and, you know, Jesus chicken from Chick-fil-A and, you know, and they certainly love that and crave that, but I'm like really trying to pull back on that because I'm like, you know, these are not, you know, these are one-offs once in a while. This is not where we should be going to the trough every single day for that. And also it's like, but it is, it's really easy to revert back to. And I do it all the time. Not consistently as nearly as much when they were younger because I'm more like paying closer attention to it. But if you're single and you have to work really long hours or you have a really busy life, those kids are on the ice, you know, 5 days a week, you know, and it's like sometimes it's an easy fallback, right? It's an easy fallback. It takes more commitment, more planning and a few other things to be able to do things like plan a meal ahead of time. So I have been doing things like over the last few years, I've been doing things like, you know, they eat like more taco meat per capita than any person on the planet, my kids do. And so I make a vat of it at the beginning of the week and that's what they eat all week long. And it's pretty healthy. It's, you know, so anyway, well, there's different strategies that you can take to sort of kind of achieve that. And then as an organization, we're doing more around indigenous food and partnering with organizations that want to advance indigenous food in our communities. So,
and that's huge, Dr. Stately. And one of the things, I'll tell you a quick story because Wendy and I, we did a little pre-record at the, for the last part of the show. And one of the stories is I watched Food Inc., that documentary, turned it on to Wendy, and she became a vegan the next day. I mean, that's and they had a whole segment about these migrant workers that's all they could buy because vegetables were expensive compared to these fast food things. So it's set up too, but as you were saying, the Native community is fighting back in a lot of ways with bringing back our traditional foods.
And you know, I mean, there's so much things that you can there's so many benefits to eating as a family and like making a meal together and sharing a meal together. You know, I think think back to some of the things that I experienced. Like when I remember like our family wasn't too much unlike my family when my mom was busy. She's working at the Indian Center and she's working at Little Earth and stuff like that. But she had one rule. She's like, okay, dinner on Sunday night at 5 o'clock, everybody has to be home at the table. We're going to eat as a family. And, you know, she would call that our powwow time, you know. And you know, it was her time to have a conversation with us and talk to us about what was going on in our lives and kind of, you know, and also, you know, admonish us and direct us and, you know, tell us when we were not living up to her expectations and a few other things, but, you know, give us praise and all those other things. There's a lot of value in sitting at the table with your family and sharing a meal and also, you know, doing the business of being a family too, right? Right. And sharing a story after, so.
And it's healthier, they say, too, whether it's you're talking and letting gas out. Like if I eat alone, I'm a little more gassy. but you know, those kind of things. And but I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if they go hand in hand.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's probably you could be a medical experiment. Actually, is what we could do. Yeah.
Well, we got a couple minutes left, Dr. Stately, and I'll let you spitball what's going on with the clinic or whatever you want to talk about. But I think it's important, too, to remind everyone that you guys just had an anniversary, and I want to say congratulations. And that's a huge deal for being Native community.
Yeah. So we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. We're in the middle of launching a capital campaign. We're planning on building a new building. At the front of our property, right on Franklin Avenue. It'll be a 6-story building, 2 stories of clinic, and 4 stories of housing to sort of like do our part to support our relatives who are living unsheltered in South Minneapolis. And, you know, unsheltered people have a lot of challenges in their lives. And one of the things that is a challenge is they don't get regular health care. And as a result, they have all kinds of challenges, infectious disease, chronic diabetes, and other kinds of chronic conditions that go untreated for a very long period of time. And so in our new project, we're going to expand that, our footprint, and also be able to do more of that specific work around addressing the critical needs of some of the most vulnerable people in our community. So I'm great. I'm deeply, deeply honored and proud to be the servant leader of this organization and to and be leading it into the next, you know, decade or two of the work that it'll do that's fundamentally going to change the health of the community. So.
Well, and like a lot of things we do here in Minnesota, we have the best, and I'm sure a lot of people and tribes come from all over the country to see the great work that you do, and so that's just amazing, really amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it, the accolades. They don't all belong to me. I have 100 and some people that work for me that are the most amazing people on the planet. They work hard. They work towards a mission. They're mission driven, and they really care about the community, and they care about our relatives that come in every day. So, yeah.
Wow. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks so much for being on and talking a little potpourri about a lot of things there. And I really appreciate you and appreciate the work you do and the Native American Community Clinic does all over Turtle Island here in the Twin Cities.
I'm sorry for your loss. I know you love that.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, Wendy and I speaking about our little Gracie. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Get ready for the best and biggest fireworks selection at Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And now, they have exciting news. Free stuff is back with a $200 or more purchase. But that's not all. They're bringing back their incredible Get 3-for-1 low price deal on all multi-shot cakes. Stock up on these incredible multi-shot cakes and get 3 for the price of 1. At Fireworks City, we're your one-stop shop for all your firework needs. Located just 25 minutes from St. Paul, it's worth a short drive on I-94 to exit 19. And here's the best part. Buy one, get one for 99 cents on every firework. Don't just take their word for it. See all the fireworks in action on one of their many TVs. Experience the excitement firsthand and make an informed choice. Bring your family and friends and head over to Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. Exit 19 off Interstate 94. Fireworks City guarantees a fun and family-friendly atmosphere. The best deal on fireworks is waiting for you. Buy one, get one for 99 cents.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Well, we kind of got a special show here, Wen, and we got Wendy here with our sacred animal portion of the show that we've had on for over 7 years, and I've learned so much. And it's kind of a somber day. Mm. I want to bring Wendy in and introduce yourself real quick, and then let's get with it.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Yeah. So today, how am I going to say this? We had to put our dog Gracie, the little white Maltese, to sleep. I guess it was Friday morning at around 12 a.m. So it was really sad. You know, she was six. We had her for 6 years. Mm-hmm. We believe she was around 13, but we're really not sure because we adopted her as an older dog. And as many of you know, she was a puppy mill breeder dog in a breeding facility. And our little Gracie, we got her and she didn't really know anything about really being a dog. You know, she didn't know how to walk outside or walk on the grass or even drink water from a bowl because she was given, you know, like a automatic dispenser, like a hamster has in their cage. Jeez. So she had to practice drinking water out of a bowl. But you know what, Robert, after the 6 years that we've had her and I think our other dog, Wanda, really helped her and showed her the way to be a dog, you know, to go outside and run around and play and bark at things and take walks and things like that. But then Gracie developed a protein deficiency and her body couldn't absorb fats any longer. So she was on special prescription food. She was on a few different medications that had to be given to her multiple times a day, and she was doing okay. You know, we were managing it and she seemed to be doing okay, but then she started having seizures. And I think that's what really, caused the decline in her so fast, and those seizures did. But the thing I really want to talk about today is just the grief of losing a pet, because so many of us have pets, right? And they are
family.
They are family, Robert. You know, I mean, we wake up every morning to them. We go to sleep at night with them, you know, and during the day, they're part of our everyday routine and our lives. Mm-hmm. They all have different personalities and likes and dislikes, and they're all individuals. Mm-hmm. And I found this article, and it's from Chewy.com. I don't know if people have heard of that, but it's an online pet store, really. Hmm. I mean, I always encourage people to use their local, pet store. We use mostly Chuck and Don's here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a Midwestern company. I'm not really sure because my...
And it's owned by...
People.
Chuck and Don.
I think so, yes.
No, they're the real people. I know,
yeah. But yeah, we always encourage supporting a local pet store. But Chewy.com is a place, and you could even get prescriptions on Chewy.com. And they have a really good advice here. And they have 6 mental health tips for coping with the loss of a pet. I also want to send our condolences to Alice. She's a friend of ours.
Yes.
And
a listener. Yeah.
And a listener. And I know that she just is dealing with the loss of her kitty cat, Pepita. So I just want to send out our heartfelt condolences to you, Alice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really feel like the death of a pet needs to be put on the forefront more often than not. I mean, when a person dies, you know, we have a wake, we have a funeral, we have time to mourn, we have people around us at all that time, right? During mm-hmm. the ceremonies. And then we have memorials for people where people could come and speak about the person, but we don't have that for pets. No. And I really feel like they should be acknowledged more at their death because it's really profound.
In many ways, Wendy, I feel like it, you know, when we lose a pet that's so close like this, mm-hmm. I kind of think about my my life and how quick it's going to, you know, going and mm-hmm. things. I mean, I don't want to get dark, but it's kind of, you know, important thing to think about, you know, how long we are here too.
Right. Exactly.
And it's a good example how quick it is.
It is very quick. Yeah. So I think this 6 mental health tips for coping with the loss of a pet could be helpful for people. Again, they also even have an 800 number helpline that you can call if you're really, you know, grieving your pet. I'm going to give that number. It's right here. It says, if you're feeling depressed, anxious, or need someone to talk to after the loss of your pet, support is available. And you can call 1-800. Well, it's not 1-800. It's 800-662-HELP. Uh-huh. Yeah. And there's, it's free. It's confidential mental health treatment referrals and information. If you are in crisis, you can dial 988 to connect with the suicide and crisis helpline, which is available 24/7. So there is help out there. Mm-hmm. And so the first one is like, don't fight your feelings. That's what it says. Number one, because you feel this intense grief and it could really hurt. And it says here that you should not try to suppress it and you should go with it. And it says here, we need to acknowledge the loss of the animal companion and family member by expressing our grief and not holding it in, says Chris A. I can't say her her last name is Kevorkian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know Dr. Kevorkian. Yeah. I wonder if she's related, but she's a PhD, MSW, who holds a doctoral degree in this type of bereavement. Mm. So it's important to do that. So, you know, feel your feelings. Mm. Number two, give yourself time, right? You need time. Grief does not have an expiration date.
It took us a long time after Mickey and Poncho left us, and they were passed away within a week of each other. Mm-hmm. And that was devastating. It took us a while to jump into the dog pet arena.
Exactly. And three, take care of yourself. Go on walks, exercise, work on crafts, spend time with supportive people, enjoy the outdoors. Number four, find a support network, right? Try to talk to other people and pet lovers and people who have lost their pets and just talk to them about that. Number five, teach healthy coping skills. And this is for children who live in the home where their pets have died. Mm-hmm. Saying goodbye to a pet is difficult for everyone in the family. And if you have children, it's likely their first experience with death. So they really need to do that. Plan a memorial service. This is something that a guy was talking about, right? Plan something, even if it's just a few people to get together in memory and to talk about. I know Robert and I, we went for a walk and we just yesterday, we went for a long walk yesterday. And we talked a lot about the memories
Good memory.
That we have with Gracie. And, you know, here's the thing. We got her at 6 years old. She had a bad life before she came to us. I know that we gave her a great life. Like, I have no regrets about that. We took really, really good care of her, and she had a great life. And she lived till she was 13. We're not really sure. She could have been older, but she was at least 13.
And we had her for 6 years. We don't know how old she was.
Right, exactly. So, we have no regrets about that, but we're still sad. We still miss her. Like I like I said to Rob before, I feel like I'm looking down at
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moore.